No, sir.
You can only testify that they did actually sign the paper.
Right.
You don't know what their intention was in signing. Not attempting to say what their intention was.
We do know that what they did sign did bear in the English language the caption of this, "Talk to sheep."
Right.
That's all. Call Mr. Bob Johnson. State your name, please.
Robert M. Johnson.
You're a member of the Memphis Bar, are you not?
Yes, sir, I am.
Associated with the firm of Canada Russian and Fenner?
Yes, sir.
Did you, at the request of Mr. Fenner, go out to the offices of the Memphis Publishing Company and obtain and pay for certain newspapers published by the Memphis Press Center and the Press Field?
I did.
Do you have those with
you? I do.
Would you look at it, please? Mr. Johnson, I see you put beside the microphone there a slip of paper. Is that a chronology of those newspapers?
Yes, sir, it is.
May I borrow it to facilitate my questions? You have the press center for the 30th of July.
Yes, sir.
Please record on behalf of the responsible for the PA that I'm going to object to the introduction of these articles as hearsay, violating the best evidence rule. I feel like an official of the newspaper should be here present to testify that in truth and in fact the articles were written by their reporters and were printed in their newspapers. Allow Mr. Johnson to testify to these articles I submit as hearsay.
Your Honor, please take these newspapers, the ones that have not been exhibits to the petition, are introduced for the purposes of notice, not for the truth of the matter of service. Yes, it will be written out to these testimony. Now, do you have the press secretary of the 30th of July?
Yes.
If you look at pages 1, I'll look over the witnesses, show me, Your Honor.
I have two copies of these.
On the front page, you see large black headlines, Raise of 30 and Sheriff Morris is cited for publicity violations.
Yes.
Judge goes along with bar report, Russell Thompson, Ramsey Park also charged all over the byline of Mr. Roy D. Hamilton, press center of the staff writer.
Yes.
Would you please read the article? Show that
article on page 1 of the press for July 30th, 1968 reads as follows. Arthur B. Haynes, Sheriff William N. Morris, and Memphis Attorney Russell X. Thompson were cited today as having violated criminal Judge W. Preston Battle's order in the James Earl Ray case against publicity statements. U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark and the Justice Department were found to be in probable violation of Battle's order. Judge Battle made the finding official as he adopted and signed a report by an eight lawyer committee he obtained to investigate public statements made by principals in the Ray case and to make recommendations. Haynes, attorney chosen by Ray to defend him on a murder charge and the slaying of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., held a Memphis press conference Saturday that apparently led to Battle leaving the lawyers committee on Sunday. Arthur B. Haynes, Jr., who was working with his father on the case, said at their office in Birmingham, have not been officially informed of Battle's citations and would not make any comment until they are so notified. The committee also drafted a new court order signed by the judge imposing additional restrictions on publicity statements. The court's new order prohibited persons connected with the case from making public statements relating to Ray's guilt or innocence, preparations for the trial, jurors or prospective jurors, and comments about evidence or merits of the case. Information concerning witnesses and the treatment, facts, and attitude of the defendants were forbidden. No punitive or disciplinary action was taken against the four individuals mentioned in the committee report. Quote, the court, in the interest of preserving the constitutional rights of all concerned and protecting the orderly preparation and progress of the trial, reserves further inquiry and disposition of each and all of the above instances, parentheses of violations, close parentheses, until a later date, end quote, the order said. The order further urged a, article continues on page 4, the order further urged a self-imposed compliance with the guidelines laid down by the court to assure a fair trial to the defendant and to the state of Tennessee. When Ray was returned to Memphis to face a murder charge in the slaying of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., Battle issued an order against those connected with the case making statements for publicity. Later, he modified the order to bar statements, quote, prejudicial to a fair trial, unquote. The committee, in its four-page report, cited these as specific instances. Quote, certain statements attributed to Arthur B. Haynes to the effect that the shooting of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. involves a communist conspiracy, to the effect that his client's rights were being trampled in jail, and to the effect that he, his family, and servants are being threatened by, quote, them, as quoted in the Memphis Press Seminar of Saturday, July 27, 1968. And the commercial appeal of Sunday, July 28, 1968. Still quoting, certain statements in the Memphis Press Seminar of July 27, 1968 attributed to William Morris, Sheriff of Shelby County, Tennessee, concerning the cost and expenses for the security of the prisoner and the treatment of the prisoner and the prisoner's demeanor and attitude following confinement. Still in quotes, certain statements appearing in the Memphis Press Seminar of Saturday, July 27, 1968 attributed to Russell X. Thompson, concerning his opinion as to the guilt or innocence of the defendant, end quote. On a visit to Memphis last week, Haynes, Ray's Birmingham lawyer, met with Thompson and discussed the possibility of Thompson joining in Ray's defense. In regard to Attorney General Clark, the committee's report said that to the extent that Clark is a participant in the Ray case, quote, through his staff, assistants, office associates, investigators, or employees under his supervision, the statements attributed to him and the U.S. Department of Justice as referred to in the commercial appeal of July 28, 1968 are in probable violation of the principle set out in Shepard v. Maxwell to the effect that there was no evidence of a conspiracy in the shooting of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., end quote. Shepard v. Maxwell is the famous case of Dr. Sam Shepard of Cleveland, Ohio, osteopath whose conviction was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court on the grounds of prejudicial pretrial publicity. Battle used this case as a guideline in his previous orders of July 18th and July 23rd restricting publicity in the Ray case. The order signed by the judge today reads, quote, all lawyers participating in this case, their assistants, associates, staff members, investigators, and employees under their supervision and control, county medical examiner, jury commissioners, criminal court clerk, county sheriff, police officials, and other law enforcement officers, employees of this court and all other persons employed in the criminal courts building, their associates, deputies, assistants, staff members, and personnel under their supervision and control, are forbidden to take part in interviews or press conferences for publicity and are enjoined from making extrajudicial statements about this case, which concerns relating to the preparation and conduct of the trial, the theory, techniques, and strategy of the declarant in the preparation and trial of the case, the juror or potential jurors who may serve, the comments of the declarant about the merits of the case and about any evidence which may be presented, the credibility of or information concerning any known or intended witness, or the treatment, acts, and attitude of the defendant, and are further enjoined from making any and all other statements which may be prejudicial to a fair trial by an impartial jury in this case, whether specified herein or not. End quote. The order stated further that anybody who feels, quote, aggrieved by anything herein contained are hereby admonished that any such grievances or complaints should be judicially presented. The court recognizes the wide and pervasive publicity which has been and will be an inevitable incident of this trial. The court further recognizes that there are many individuals who are beyond the jurisdiction of this court, but who may be interested in the outcome of this trial, and whose statements may have been violative of this order, had the court jurisdiction over such parties. As to such persons, the court urges self-imposed compliance with this order in the interest of a fair trial to the defendant and to the state of Tennessee. End quote. Battle instructed the criminal court clerk to send certified copies of the order to all persons named in it and to newspapers, radio, and TV stations within the court's jurisdiction. The committee is composed of Don G. Owens, president of Memphis and Shelby County Bar Association, and Lucius Birch, Lee A. Hardison, J. Allen Hanover, Cooper Turner, Jr., Leo J. Buchanan, James D. Causey, and Leo Berman, Jr. The committee entered the courtroom at 9:30, and Don Owens presented the report and proposed order to battle. The judge then read the report, but suggested the committee revise it to include specific examples of violations which apparently were not given in the original version. The eight lawyers then retired to the judge's chambers and spent about 40 minutes making the changes. Battle thanked the committee for a fine order. It shows a, for, quote, a fine order, it shows a lot of work, I thought, end quote. That's the end of the article.
Well, may that be made exhibit three, Mark.
James Earl Ray with a strict 5-point order designed to guarantee